Hello, hello, everyone. Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Verimed Stories podcast. I am your host, Francesca Pinillo, and in this week's episode, I have Steve Mallett joining me, who's a senior manager in statistics at Verimed, and we are going to be talking about all things motivation. So finding meaning in our work, things that lead to motivation, what potential barriers there are, and things that we can practice to get into that motivational mindset. So hi, Steve, welcome to the podcast, and thank you so much for joining me today. How are you getting on?
Hi, Francesca. Well, thanks for inviting me. Very flattered that you asked me to be on your podcast. So yeah, I'm doing fine.
Good. That's good to hear. It's Friday, so at least it's the end of the week.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So I know with motivation, like there's a lot of books and there's a lot of podcasts and like even apps now on this stuff. So what is it that got you interested in the sort of like motivational mindset? How did it start for you?
Well, I suppose I do read a lot of books. You know, I'm interested in popular science and popular psychology. So I guess I'm curious about those sorts of things anyway, in terms of motivation. I mean, think of my own motivation, my own career path. So that probably started me reading those books. Mm-hmm. And then progress through career, you find yourself mentoring and coaching other people. So also, you know, that's another aspect of this, is thinking about other people and what's motivating them. So yeah, I think just a general interest, but also knowing how to apply some of these methods mm-hmm. to kind of day-to-day work.
Yeah, absolutely. And what is it you think that leads to like a good motivational mindset?
Yeah, I mean, I think it might be helpful just to start thinking about what do we mean by motivation. You know, it's kind of maybe an obvious question, but I think there's a difference between like motivation and like self-discipline or commitment. Mm-hmm. Because I think motivation is an emotional thing, and it links to your values, the strengths you feel you have, almost your sense of purpose in the world, you know. Mm. And that's the kind of the big picture that's at the heart of this. And that's what kind of gives life meaning. I know these are big things. So if you're lucky, you know, your job or your career can align with your, you know, those values and strengths, and rewarding work means that you feel you're doing something good in the world.
Yeah.
If you're in that position, you're lucky. A lot of people, they do work because it's a job to earn money to live.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I think most of us are kind of probably quite privileged that we've been thinking about these things. So I think that's the kind of big picture. I always think of it as what I used to do, I haven't done so much recently, is used to go into schools and talk to young people about, you know, kind of motivating talks, and I'd talk about, you know, what we do and, you know, why. Quite often to people studying maths and say, well, you know, how can you use maths in the real world? Well, you can develop medicines. And I remember giving one talk and I said, you know, when I did my stats MSc, I realized I could earn a lot more money in the city, earning big money, but actually what I do is actually gives me meaning. You know, it's kind of, and it's funny because after the talk, one of the students came up to me and kind of shyly kind of asked me, tell me more about earning lots of money in the city. so his values were different from mine, you know, and, you know, sometimes money can be a motivator.
But I think as well, like at that age, it's probably like a very naive thing to go down like the financial route. Like I know myself, like I started off in finance, and that's kind of like what I really loved about maths and what I loved about stats as well. So even though like I did my PhD, it was in air pollution and health, it was like public health, that sort of thing, epidemiology, I still ended up initially in banking and in finance. But I mean, as you know, like I found myself like in pharma and back in pharma because that's what gives me meaning, and that's what, like, I'm motivated in my job because I know I'm doing things that ultimately are going to help people, and that's then, it's like that circle, like that's then what motivates me as well.
Yeah, but I think there's different levels. So there's the level where you take a step back, and maybe you go to a party and someone says, what do you do? And then you're trying to, you know, maybe it might be a sense of pride.
Yeah.
I mean, normally I don't say I'm a statistician first. I say, I develop medicines that is usually ends the more interesting conversation. And so there's a pride there, but we're not doing that every day, you know? So there's, I think the other part to motivation, maybe it's more to do the discipline, I don't know, is the day-to-day mm-hmm. work. So we're not getting out of bed every morning thinking I'm going to find the cure for cancer. You know, you think, oh, I've got the QC spreadsheet to update on, you know, the mundane day-to-day things.
Yeah.
So that's another level, I think. And I think that's more to do with developing your skills so I think another aspect of this is having skills that you enjoy using. Mm. So, you know, if you're a programmer, it might be you like problem solving.
Yeah.
And you're good at that and you enjoy that. If you think of a Venn diagram of, you know, things I enjoy and things I'm good at, and the bit in the middle is the sweet spot. And hopefully that's what you find at work. I think the skills part is important.
Mm.
Like I said, I think there's a difference between motivation as a kind of emotion of here's what I love and here's what I want to do. And then the kind of self-discipline to develop your kind of skills every day.
Yep.
And I think there's a little bit of a misconception, because I read a book recently by somebody called Cal Newport. And I'd certainly recommend his podcast. He's an expert in more kind of the productivity side of things. But he was reacting to, so Steve Jobs, I think in 2005, he gave a talk to Stanford University and he said, the only way to do great work is love what you do. And he said, if you haven't found it yet, keep looking and don't settle. And a lot of people were inspired by that. And they thought, my job has got to, it's got to be my passion. Every day I've got to feel this passion. And this book by Cal Newport is called Be So Good They Can't Ignore You, is a kind of reaction against that. There's a kind of cautionary tale of, so there was somebody in that book, and she was in, I think, advertising and, you know, middle manager and doing okay. And then, but she decided, she heard that speech or whatever, and she thought, no, this isn't my passion. So she decided she was going to set up an online yoga business for kids. That was, she thought, she'd love to do that. So she quit her job. I could spend a year invested a lot of her money in setting up this business. Problem is that she's gone from, you know, a situation where she knows has a lot of skills, relevant skills, to somewhere mm-hmm. where she knows she's right at the bottom of the hierarchy in terms of skills. She hadn't never set up a business before, never set up a website before, had to learn about yoga from scratch. And a year on, she completely failed, unfortunately.
Oh.
And so that's what this book is about. Before you find your rewarding work that you want, you have to put in the hours and years of developing your craft, if you like, your skills. When I was at GSK, there was one of their stats leaders called Frank Rockhold, who I really admire, and he used to say, develop your craft, become a craftsman.
Mm.
And I found that quite inspiring. So, you know, in terms of the day-to-day motivation, I think, you know, you shouldn't underestimate just, you know, developing excellence, if you like, in what you do, because then down the line, you can use that to negotiate a good job. You know, I mean, the perfect example is, you think of our own Matt Jones, actually. So, you know, Matt spent years, and I used to work with him years ago, becoming an excellent programmer, really good people skills. He also learned about business.
Mm-hmm.
He put hours into all these things. So when he just had this vision of Vermed, he was ready. He'd already invested the time, and he... Obviously, Vermed is a great success, and it's in the values we have in Vermed kind of came from one person, from Matt initially.
Yeah.
So that's the message, I think, is in terms of motivation. I think it's that day in, day out, it might be mundane, building your skill set rather than worrying every day, is this my passion?
Yeah, and I know something you've said before, like speaking on the mundane tasks, is like you said, like be the best even at mundane tasks and like build up that reputation.
Yes.
As well, and like try and build that career capital.
Yeah, I know that's a term that came from Cal Newport. And
oh, that was from the book.
Yeah, I mean, almost, yeah, this term career capital, it's almost like, you know, think of it as almost as a currency. But yeah, if you're if you're building those skills and the that kind of excellence of what you do, then you can start to say, because, I mean, what the rewarding job really has, you might say it's got three things. Maybe it's kind of, you want, everyone wants creativity and you want to make an impact in what you do and you want some control over what you do. You know, so again, you think of maybe back to Matt and Emma, you know, if you're CEO, you have all those three things, you know, you've created this company, it's making a big impact in the industry and you've got some control over it. You're steering it. Mm. Okay. Maybe we'll open this office in the US or, you know, so that's, I imagine that's very rewarding to be sitting in that seat, but to get there, you've got to have built up capital first. And that's, I think that's what we mean by career capital, is that then whether it's starting your own company or just within an employer, you can then negotiate because they don't want to get rid of you because you're too valuable to lose.
It was important as well, I think, to point out that it's great to find meaning in our work, but it's also normal and it's okay for it not to be the most amazing thing all the time. Like, yes, you could be working, like, you're really passionate about your job, but that's not, you're not going to feel that every single day. And there are going to be days where probably more discipline needs to kick in rather than the motivation side of things.
I think that's right. And, you know, maybe I'd make an analogy. Now, I'm quite a keen cyclist, so I've just done a very challenging bike ride, and I was very highly motivated to do that. It's what I love doing. And, you know, if I'm out on the road with, you know, if I see someone at the road, I want to catch them up. So, you know, that's it's an emotion. You can go feel motivated. But to do that challenge, I had to kind of go and sit on my trainer in the evenings, you know, three or four, and it's really boring. And 10 things I'd rather be doing. So that's where the discipline, you know, there's not really, I wouldn't say it's motivation. I feel like doing it, but I just do it anyway.
But see, I think that's what's really rewarding, is when that discipline kicks in, because I'm not a cyclist, but I'm really into the gym and really into weightlifting. And there's times where I honestly cannot be bothered going. And it's like, okay, I can sleep for an extra 2 hours, or I can get up at 5 a.m. and go to the gym for 6. And so while I really don't want to do it, I kind of just have to tell myself, no, because I guarantee when you get there, and like that dopamine starts, like you're going to feel amazing after it, and you're going to be so, so, so glad that you went. And that's just like enough to be like, right, okay, I'll just get out of bed and I'll go. But like, I'm highly, highly motivated. You know, I have like really big goals in terms of my fitness. But yeah, sometimes like that motivation is just like not quite there. And it can be like really hard to like get into that mindset and like push yourself to go, or like push yourself to do something.
Yeah. And as somebody said, you know, motivation, it's like setting your sat nav. You know, you can set your sat nav to where you want to go, but you've still got to then drive the car to get there. And there's a good, another book to plug or recommend is called Atomic Habits, which I read, and that's all about how to, there might be big things or there might be little micro bad habits and good habits. And it's kind of breaks it down. There's techniques in there. Just things like when I was doing these workouts, I'd create a little chart, and every day, you know, when I've done one, I tick it off. Mm-hmm. So you can see on the wall chart, and then you have a run of five, and I don't want to break the run there. You know, so it can kind of gamify it a little bit. And, you know, there's a few tricks in there. Another thing I do is play guitar. And again, sometimes practicing is quite boring, but if I leave the guitar out, so it's just there, it's just easier to pick up, you know, so you kind of make the habits you want to get easier, kind of lower the barrier to them. And then, yeah, as I say, find some little satisfaction, or like you say, it might just be after the workout, you feel good anyway, you know, you never do a workout and think, I wish I hadn't done that. I'd recommend that book just for tips for getting good habits. If you know, if at a high level, you've set yourself these targets, but to get there, you've got to go through this mundane stuff. There are techniques to achieving that.
Definitely. I've actually heard that is a really good book. It's in my Amazon cart. I've just hadn't quite gotten around to ordering it yet, but I think I will after this episode for sure.
Yeah, and I think Carol Newport as well I mean, I listened to his podcast. He's got a lot of practical tips as well.
Mm.
Things like time boxing. So you might say, let's say this a skill, you know, it might be a big skill you want to learn. And again, you want to do a little bit every day.
Mm-hmm.
So you can block off, you know, going back to the guitar, you know, about 20 minutes every day, you know, and just say, I'm going to do, or maybe 30 minutes. So you might do 10 minutes of chords, you know, it's quite boring to practicing chords and learning the fretboard and then playing a song or something. You know, you do that every day. And by the end of the year, right, you're going to be pretty good. So
yeah, because like all these small things, like they compound on each other. So you might just think, ah, well, it's 10 minutes, like I might as well just not do it. But small changes like lead to big things at the end. And I think it's like getting in routine as well. Like you said, like just having the guitar there, like in your line of vision, and just knowing that, okay, this is just something that I do every day. Yeah, it's like sometimes like it's just having a really good routine as well with what you do, I think, can really help you stay motivated, because if it's easy to access, easy to do, then you're more likely to actually do it, and then you'll feel good after knowing you're like, ah, okay, yeah, I'm really glad I worked on that today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, there might be work-related examples, you know. I'm trying to learn some basing statistics, because that's a bit of a gap in my knowledge, and I've got some exercises from a course I went on, you know, so that's up on the screen. I mean, and I don't have a lot of time because I'm busy with client work, mm-hmm. but there might be sort of 20 minutes. I'm just going to do this exercise and in the background, learning, developing skills. You know, it doesn't have to be a lot of time.
Yeah.
And you think, well, that could have been time I could have been scrolling through Facebook. You know, I'm going to spend that 20 minutes just doing one exercise in a Bayesian course. You know, so this kind of little micro learnings, they're called. That's another thing that's come from Cal Newport, I think. So, yeah, it's a quite a big thing at the moment on productivity and a lot of bloggers but the bigger place to start would be Cal Newport.
Yeah. So do you have any advice for people in terms of like motivation? So I know before when we were like talking about this episode and like what we're going to talk about, what we're going to say, I noted down that you said like develop curiosity and ask questions. And I think that's like a really important piece of advice.
Yeah. And I think that's almost the link between the two things we've been talking about. Cause you know, I started off at CEO actually. We used to work for OXL, and cause I've got a science background. So, you know, I'll be doing programming or something for a client, and then I'm kind of curious about, okay, well, what is this study about? And what's it trying to, you know, you don't get line of sight of the clinical development program, especially as a programmer, you know. So I was always asking questions, you know, I wanted to see how my little bit fitted in. I was a cog in a machine, but I wanted to see the bigger machine, you know. And maybe that was just me, because I, you know, I'm kind of more sciencey background than maths, you know, if you go back to the start of my career. So I'm interested to know what are the questions that we're answering. So that's one piece of advice, which you don't always see. I remember working when I worked at GSK, and there was I knew that one of the projects, it wasn't a project I was working on, but I knew they were just unblinded and they were just producing their final tables, and I knew it was a really interesting project, quite an important project. And I met one of the programmers at the kind of printer, and I said, well, you know, he can tell me what's the outcome, you know, does the drug work? And then he said, I don't know, I'm just doing the tables, you know. His job was to do the tables, so he wasn't curious. Okay. And he wasn't a statistician, but he still wasn't even curious. Is that good? Is it good? Thumbs up or thumbs down? Yeah. No, it's just fine. He had his own motivations, but I thought, I can't imagine not wanting to know that. So I think by being curious, you know, about how what you're doing, I think curiosity is a link between the day-to-day mundane and the big picture, you know, because everything, if you're updating the QC spreadsheet in a very small way, or working towards that medicine that's going to help a patient, you know, and it's a bit of a tenuous connection sometimes. But so, yeah, I think certainly for me anyway, that's one bit of advice. You know, we see this in young children, they're always asking questions and saying, why? But sometimes we lose that as adults.
Yeah, I think so. I know. I think like when you're in a job and probably starting out somewhere, you don't want to feel like you're bugging people or annoying people, but I feel like in my job, everyone's just so happy to help and like really happy if you ask a question and you are curious, because no matter what small thing you do, it does lead to the success of that drug, not just in terms is it efficacious, but getting it onto market, like actually getting it out to patients, like post hoc analyses, whatever it may be, every little bit of evidence really helps the backing of that particular compound. So even if you just said like you're QC in a spreadsheet, that still has a massive impact.
Yep.
So it's, as you said, it's like it's looking at that bigger picture as well and just seeing that the work that you do is really meaningful.
Yeah, and I think it can lead to other things. I mean, I took an unusual career path. I started as a programmer and then became a statistician, and that for me that's because then knowing the stats, you know, you get exposed to more in what for me was more interesting. You go to interesting meetings, interesting discussions, and you work in a different set of stakeholders, and that's interesting. Yeah. I think as you progress, you know, in your career, then you find yourself in meetings with you know, people from different functional areas with different mindsets and different points of view, and that's what makes the job interesting as well. And then the whole different set of skills are then needed.
Yep, for sure. So I think we're coming up to the end of the podcast now, and obviously, like, I'd asked you to come on to this episode because you'd posted a really, really interesting post on LinkedIn, which I just like really resonated with, and I just thought the tips would be really good ones. So yeah, I thought we could end today's episode by going through what was it? Wisdom from Japan on how to stay motivated.
Yeah, I mean, I don't claim any credit, or I mean, this is something I saw and I quite liked, so I kind of reposted. But I probably can't pronounce the Japanese words, but they're kind of like...
Yeah, I was going to say that's where I'm going to lose it, is trying to pronounce these words.
I mean, I can go through, and a lot of them we've already spoken about, really. So there's, you're finding your purpose in life. So that's the big, your core values that we've talked about at the start. Find a reason you wake up every morning. So maybe I'm slightly skeptical. Again, you don't necessarily get out of bed and think, right, I'm going to cure cancer today, but it's there in the background. And choose something that aligns with your strengths, passions, and the needs of the world. So it's like we've spoken about, so that's what kind of gives your work meaning, or maybe even your life meaning. But then the other part, like we talked about, is like focus on small improvements every day that take you towards those bigger goals. So, you know, that doesn't have to be massive, just do a little bit every day.
Yeah, because that all compounds on each other.
Exactly. And then there's also, you might think, wow, that's really motivating, and you get your head down and you work all morning. So there's also about breaking your time down into chunks. You know, maybe you work for 25 minutes, take a 5-minute break, you know, have a drink, run around the garden with the dog or whatever, just kind of, and then go back, and then you'll be ready for another. So just taking breaks paradoxically adds to your productivity. Yeah. There's a thing about eating well. So, you know, it's a big thing at Vermed, obviously, the kind of wellness, looking after your health, sort of physical health, mental health, all those things are part of it. And yeah, approach tasks with a beginner's mindset. So I think this is about not thinking I've got to be perfect. You might feel a bit of imposter syndrome, like, oh, you know, I don't know enough. So again, it's just being open to learning and trying new things. And have that curiosity. So if you don't know something, don't pretend you do, or try and fake it. Just be honest, and you know, people don't expect you to know everything.
Yep.
And so, yeah. In summary, just, you know, the two key ones really are just kind of getting a tiny bit better every day, or towards this bigger, you know, the bigger goals that you've set yourself.
And then the last one here, which I really like, is doing all of this while trying to stay positive in your journey as well.
Yes. So it's not easy, and yeah, in life you have good days and bad days. That's inevitable, you know. But and you can't always make yourself positive if you're not positive. But sometimes we have a choice to see the, you know, glass half full or glass half empty. So I think it's wherever possible to have a kind of positive mindset.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on to the episode. This has been really inspiring for sure. And afterwards, I'll be updating my Amazon cart, that's for sure.
Well, I've plugged a few books, so I expect royalties.
So yeah, thank you all so much for listening. If you would like to be notified for any future episodes, please subscribe to us on Spotify, iTunes, or whichever podcast platform you're using. If you would like to know more about Verimed, please visit our website at verimed.co.uk, or you can find us on LinkedIn. If you have any questions about Verimed, please feel free to reach out to me, myself, on LinkedIn. And if you want to talk about anything to do with motivation, you can also reach out to Steve, who's also on LinkedIn. We are both always happy to help, of course. You can also find us on YouTube and on Instagram at We Are Verimed. So yeah, thank you all so much for listening. And until next time, see you later.
Thank you.